This is RTI, Radio Tetris International.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rap Boys and Girls, your weekly sideways look at the news from here. We're in the beautiful city of Poprad in eastern Slovakia. And as he reminded me earlier, on the zit of the nose of Europe, it's none other than Lee Banks over in the UK.
Hello, everybody. That's proper now. People know who I am now.
We've been trying to get hold of Mark on the train and failing dismally during the break. And we'd probably
Switch your phone on, Mark.
How's he going to hear that if it's not working?
Oh, and he's on the train.
Correct. Anyway, there's a little bit of a story about, and I just gets up my ooh to this, about Russian authorities released details of the assets and wealth of Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich. And
have you seen his girlfriend?
No.
Who? If I had 11 billion, I'd give it away to have her as my, on my arm.
Well, look, number one, what is the fascination with 11 billion?
Yeah.
He's done it. He's made the money, etc. He's lived through all the criticisms and other stuff that have been going along.
Yes.
And why are we so fascinated with the, and it's the way it comes across. It's kind of like, he's got 11 million. We know he's worked hard for it. It's his business brain that's done it, but he shouldn't have the 11 million.
Why? Nobody said he shouldn't have the...
No, but that's the way people come across, isn't it?
Billion,
sorry. But he shouldn't have this 11 billion. And I'm going, but why?
Well, nobody's really said that. I've not seen anything saying that. It's... the problem is...
And you're still living in England?
I'm still living in England. Of course I am. Where do you think I've gone?
I don't know. But if you're in England and you're telling me that no one's sort of going, he's got 11 billion, I can't believe that. You're in the wrong bit.
That's just English jealousy, isn't it? We're just automatically jealous of people who make money or become famous and things like that.
That's my point.
Why haven't we done it?
That is my point.
But the reason Roman Abramovich has had his life laid bare once more is... It's because he's a fascinating character. It's if you wanted it in one word, well, you'd have to have two. If you wanted it in two words, fascinating character. That's why we talk about him. And that's what people love. People love to be talked about. If he's got 11 billion in the bank, which he hasn't, it's all in assets and stuff like that, that's a phenomenal figure for one who runs our, owns our, one of our most famous football clubs.
Who?
And also,
who are they? Who are they?
They're not Chelsea, Chelsea, dear. Chelsea.
No, you mean Chelsky.
Chelsky. That's the one.
That's the one. Yes.
Yeah, it's by the Romans. That's right.
Yeah, but it's by they're all old people there. It's by the Chelsea pensioners. That's it. They're all old people. No wonder they can't win any football matches.
That's why they wear long shorts, isn't it? Because they're all old.
Yes, exactly.
Bless them.
The Chelsea pensioners. Yep. Anyway, fascination with money. Yeah, I know. It's terribly, terribly, terribly English.
But he's got... See, just think of it this way. He's got 6 flats and a house in the UK, 4 homes in Russia, 2 in the US, and 3 in France.
And?
How can you live in all of them?
Family.
His family. Yeah, that's fine. I have no objection to him having all these houses. All I'm saying is that he's a colourful character who has been, like you said, has had his life laid bare. Every now and again, he's lost money, he's made money, he's a facet. His girlfriend is probably the most gorgeous creature to ever walk on this earth.
Yes.
And he's just interesting. He's an interesting man.
Can I teach you some Slovak again?
Go on then.
Acho.
Acho.
That's it.
What does that mean?
And what?
Nothing. Exactly. It's an interesting person.
He just goes round in circles, doesn't he? It's ridiculous.
Well, that's what things are about. It's interesting. It's news. If we're going to talk about David Beckham later on, then we'll have something to say about it.
Anyway, talking of the news, let's get back to it. This week, Britain went completely bonkers, says Mr. Banks. A boy is accused of racism for calling white... For calling white classmate Chocolate Brown. His victim's name, of course, guess what? Brown.
Yeah, exactly.
The schoolboy's been reprimanded for alleged racism.
Yeah, unbelievable. This is Britain gone totally and utterly insane. And it's not a one-off case. The reason this is in the news is because of the fact that it happened, and it's not happened like that before. But this sort of attitude, this insane attitude that's coming out of the authorities in Britain, is frightening. This kid is called Brown. And so some other kid, right, remember this kid, what's his last name? Wiener. Right? So with a name like Wiener, you can expect that you are going to get a bit of trouble.
Yes.
Right? Now, if they've called him a pink wiener, if he's, come here, pink wiener, would that be racist? Well, the fact that he called a bloke whose name is Brown chocolate.
Chocolate
I could see
brownie.
It if you were.
But Lee, this is not new. This is nothing new.
What do you mean? But what? People, wiener go around calling people called Brown
racist.
Chocolate all the time. Racism isn't, but the only way you can fight against racism is to point out the stupidity. This isn't even racism.
It's nothing.
How can it be classed as racism?
I have no
but
idea.
This kid, now his mother is fighting to get the fact that on his records it says that he's been reprimanded for a racist remark.
No,
that's
I agree.
On his things for the future.
He's barking mad. But it's the same. I mean, you know how long I've been living out here now, so it's a long time. That's what I'm saying. This is not new. Because years ago, I was on the radio in London on a well-known FM station, and with a rather large audience, and we read out
BBC then, was it?
No, not overnight. Anyway, I called the late night bus in London a paddy bus. Instantly, instantly, the phones lit up. There was people accusing me of being a racist. I was terrible. I should be banned and thrown off the radio. Blah, 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 blah. It was unbelievable. But if they'd if they'd have listened to the ruddy programme, Paddy, the manager of the night buses in London, was on the show regularly. It was a Paddy bus. Because Paddy was the manager. And this is the stupidity of people. Unbelievable.
Absolutely. Here's one for you, right? This happened to me on a morning newspaper. And I'm not sure you'd get this in now. Because even I look at it and think, well, there isn't actually anything wrong with it. But I can see how people would react badly. And this is how pathetic it is. Mm. You know, Coronation Street. Which is one of the biggest programmes in the world.
It's a little TV programme, and I can't even do it.
Celebrating its 50th anniversary. Yeah,
yeah, it's the birthday 50th anniversary, 50 viewers. That's right. Sorry.
Anyway, doesn't matter. There was a nation programme came out. Sadly, it didn't last very long, but it was Asians living on the streets. Exactly the same as Coronation Street. Now, I put a headline out, and I'm not defending, I'm opening it up to debate. The headline I put on there was Coronation Street, right?
Right.
Now, I think that would be seen as racist today, and I would not be able to publish this, but 10 years ago it wasn't. And the difference is, I just thought that was a joke at the time. That's funny. Coronation Street.
Yeah.
Right? But now, personally, I would hesitate, say, well, you know, am I going to offend people with that? And it's just a joke.
Yeah, I bet someone's going to get the ump with this one. Because I'll tell you what, boys and girls, the trouble with Coronation Street is you need it translated.
It's only because they're northerners and they all talk like me.
Exactly, they all talk like me. I mean, they do that all the time.
We have EastEnders where they all talk like you.
No, EastEnders is proper English.
Yeah, you're all right, boy. What do you want to do? Yeah, do you want to see more fish?
See, proper talking. I don't know. Yes, England has gone barking mad, and I'll come back to this point in a minute when we discuss some other bits to do with the EU as well, because I'm going to argue the EU's got it right. EU's got it right. and equally, an Essex businessman has had to pay out over a thief sign.
This is an ongoing story. It's been going on for ages. This bloke caught a chap stealing. Well, somebody who he employed stealing from him. He took a cheque for £845 off him. Now, what he did, and I'm not saying again that this bloke was right to do what he did. I don't think he was in any way, shape or form. Yep. He and some other people who worked there grabbed the bloke, wrote a sign out saying thief and marched this bloke through the streets to the police station where he reported him. Now, the bloke who claims that he didn't actually steal the cash because he was owed it has had an out-of-court settlement off the businessman, Simon Kramer, right? Of £13,000! Why? Somebody who took something which, one way or the other, whether he says he was owed it or not, at that moment, it didn't belong to him.
Right.
He took that, right? And the bloke overreacted. And why is it costing £13,000? They say it was almost like, you know, it was almost like kidnapping him and things like that. And I'm sure he was frightened. And I'm sure he was scared. But he's gone on to make money out of what was probably an illegal act. Yeah. I think that is shameful. And it's been backed by our leaders.
Oh, no.
I did say leaders.
I'm sure you did. Let's change the running order a bit. Let's bring in this European related story here, because lots of people in the UK are calling for the UK to be removed from Europe, and the reason for that is that this week the High Court has had to agree with a ruling from Brussels, because the Brussels Court is the highest one in Europe, and what it's come down to is the UK has a register for sex offenders, and you have rapists and paedophiles on there. Now, what's happened is that someone's gone to the European Court, and they've had a ruling made there, blah, 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 blah. It's gone all the way through. And the fact is that by keeping people on this register, it damages the or breaks the European Convention on Human Rights.
Mm.
Now, there's probably a reason, which is why I'm going to say, don't get out of Europe, follow Europe. Because there's 24,000 sex offenders which could come off of the register very shortly. So England's in a dilemma now. They're all screaming because the European Convention of Human Rights has got in the way. And yet, countries across Europe have a very different stance with rapists and paedophiles.
Well, yeah, but I'm sorry, I can't see why we've got to change our stance against rapists and paedophiles in Britain just because the rest of Europe doesn't agree with us. I think rapists and paedophiles are the scum of the earth. They really are the lowest of the low.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't lower than them. Murderers are not lower than them.
Yes.
You know, it is absolutely the most heinous crime to touch a child inappropriately. Is incredible. And now these people, the paedophiles, because of this ruling, can slip under the radar after X number of years. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in place to protect people. But this is a paedophile's charter, as far as I'm concerned. It's also, the other thing is, you're talking about the European aspect of it. It's actually a shameful surrender on David Cameron's part to Europe. We fought to get rid of the other bit that they brought in. We beat them, didn't we, with vote for prisoners?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't we fight them on this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the full details of it. But what I do tend to sort of... Where I have a problem with this, cause I had the privilege of meeting some senior police people here, and I'm not saying they were being silly, but the stigma attached to this kind of crime... In this region is not the way it's portrayed on the television at all, I can assure you. You know, people who are accused of this have been known to commit suicide for being accused of it.
And in Britain too.
So why can't you sort the problem out? Because if you sort the problem out, then you wouldn't
Because a pervert's a pervert.
No, if you sort the problem out, let me finish. If you sort the problem out of rapists and paedophiles, then you don't have the problem in the first place. Then you wouldn't have
How'd you sort it out? How'd you sort out the problem of rapists and paedophiles?
Well, there's got to be something. It's like in the UK recently, these people that have been working with youngsters in these kindergarten-type schools... You know, and publishing pictures. Who the hell has been doing the security checks on them? Who's been doing the psychology tests on them? Who's been checking these people out? Obviously, not the right person.
Eric, 100% right. That's why you need their names to remain on a sex offenders register.
No, you're missing the point.
There is a point. No, I'm not.
You shouldn't have employed him in the first place.
That's right. And the easiest place to go to is a sex offenders register. Have a look on there. Although I tell you, it's very difficult. Do you know, actually, that this is a load of... I can't think of a word that I can say.
Bunkum?
Anyway. Bunkum! That'll do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, this because, you know, there isn't a national sex offenders register in Britain.
No, I know, but you see...
There are little ones. There's little ones, regional ones.
I know, but it's going back to the point. To some degree, I'm going to agree with David Cameron, which is scary for me, because I don't agree with any politician. and this whole thing about big society and the like...
Yeah.
You've got to get to a point where someone has got to take responsibility. And you can't just sort of go, oh, the European Convention on Human Rights is bad because... No, it's a bit like shooting a gun and going, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to shoot it. Because the act of crime has already taken place. Then you blame the bloke for not having a licence for his gun. That's stupid. And in that scenario, nobody would disagree with me. But in this scenario, they'll blame the European Convention on Human Rights. What they're doing is putting a plaster... another scenario. You slashed your wrist open on a broken piece of glass when you fall over, and you... break your, you know, you bust your artery. What would you do? Put a plaster over it?
No, you go to the hospital and
get it fixed.
And I agree.
This whole media hype story is
nothing to do with media hype.
It is. It's been hyped up by
our
colleagues. It's been hyped up by our colleagues in the media, and some of them, it's like putting a plaster, a band-aid in Australia. Over an artery. You're not fixed. Why aren't they campaigning to fix the problem? Get stronger searches in the kingdom.
Because you can't fix it.
Why?
Because you can't fix the problem. Perverts and paedophiles,
you can't
really cure them. You know, it's not a curable disease. You've got to actually start to chemically assault them, cosh them, chemically to stop them. It is far better that people can... There are loads of attendant dangers, I'll tell you.
I understand that, Lee. I do.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like saying, I'm an alcoholic, and then everybody else saying to him, well, come on then, let's put you in the middle of the pub and leave you on your own. You're going to have a drink.
That's right. But you know, it's look. The simple fact is one of the attendant dangers, right? There was a chap we know. It was his 21st birthday, and I don't know why, but they went out dressed as women. His mates.
Yeah.
He got underpants on. He got undercrack. Got everything. He got tights on. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, they had a drink, and this lad flashed his tights. Lifted his skirt and flashed his tights at two girls in a car. Unfortunately, the girls weren't very old. They were about 6. Well, I think they might have been 15.
Right.
They didn't look like it. But anyway, and all he'd done, he's a bloke and he was wearing a dress, and for a laugh like a big buffoon, he lifted it. He was arrested and held in the cells overnight, and he was told that he was going to get his name on the sex offenders register. Now, he didn't for various reasons. It never happened. He was never prosecuted. Nothing happened.
Right.
But he would be a prime victim of having to remain on that register for the rest of your life. Now, there is a way of protecting, because if he could go to the register, you know, like when you get a credit rating and it's bad, you're allowed to put something on there saying, well, hang on, this wasn't me, this was me missus who's just dumped me. Yeah. Things like that, you can say what you want. Now, on the sex register, there should be a gradation of... who stays on there for how long? If you are a pervert, you are a danger to children, you stay on that register until the day you die.
Right.
If you're some lad at 21 who was a bit drunk and did something a bit silly, then fine, come off it.
So we're not arguing with the European Convention of Human Rights, really, then?
No, I'm not arguing that point at all. I think their decision is completely and utterly wrong, and not right for Britain, because we do have different ideas. Mm. But the simple fact is that their decision, right, does not look at and accept the rights of the victims, women and children who. I've got to be at the pervert's mercy. At a pervert's mercy, because they disappear off this register because they've been on there for a few years.
Yeah.
Well, sex goes on for a lot longer than a few years.
Well, that's true. Divided views on that. Give us your views. Studio at RTI.fm. This one is just unbelievable. There is no way to defend this story. I'm even sad that we're doing it at all. Soldiers sacked by email. The Army Major has sent an email to 38 soldiers. And boys and girls, if you've been around this programme for a while, you know how supportive we are of the armed forces. You know that we're often honoured by visiting previously injured service people, both girls and boys, who've been into Iran and Afghanistan and places like that. You know, we've got so much respect for them all. It's unbelievable. And to see some of them being fired by email, I cannot get my head round. The major who's done this has clearly apologised. He's probably been told to apologise. But what was his brain doing at the time?
Well, this is it. It was, in every way, shape and form, a major error. In every way you can think of it. It is pathetic that, and what annoys me, he sent the identical message. He didn't. He wasn't even a personal message saying, "Hello, Joe, sorry about this. We've got to get rid of you now, but you'll do all right. You can have the." It was just a straightforward email to each man. It was the same thing, and it said, "Start planning your resettlement now."
Yeah. Can you imagine what would have happened in conventional private sector if that had happened?
Well, I've got to tell you a story on that, because I actually witnessed it happen, and nothing happened. But I'll tell you what happened was, it was on the... No, I won't say which paper.
No. I think you better leave it there for a minute. We're not going to get into everything. But, I mean, I really can... It beggars belief how an army major can send an email to people not just at home. Some of these guys are actually on the front line who are able to get their emails on the front line and receive an email saying, "Thanks very much, you're on the front line. You know, you could be killed at any minute, but we don't want you anymore." Unbelievable.
I think it's absolutely right. And what I was going to say very briefly is that this bloke was sacked on this national newspaper over the tannoid. Now, that, to me, was totally insensitive to do that to a bloke in front of the whole of the building.
Right.
And this is more insensitive. And
absolutely.
That's what it is. It's completely insensitive, and the bloke should be sorted out for it.
Fired. Home rates, or home loan rates, are set to rise in 2012, according to a load of reports.
To be this year.
Well, it could be. It depends. It could be 6 months down the road. According to Bank of England Governor Mervyn King has sort of hinted that there could be some rises, which will, of course, take inflation up in the UK as well for a while before it comes back down to predicted 2.25% within 2 years.
Which is six times higher than interest rates are now. That's frightening.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just have a think about this. The money that you're paying to buy your house with, or your other loans, is going to go up, and by doing that, it will put more money back in to those that have invested in, which tends to be old people who are living on the breadline now, and their savings aren't giving them any interest, so therefore they can't use the interest to live on. But if the interest rate goes up, then they can again. That's nice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. But it also causes a lot of problems. You see, you've got to realise what's happened in Britain since Cameron's taken over. And I can't say that I can't defend a lot of what Cameron's done. I can see the sense in some of the things he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the average cost to a Brit with a family and a mortgage and a house and a car, you know, get everything, just our day-to-day life. Day-to-day life has become more expensive by round about £100 a week.
Yeah, see, this was the thing. I heard a bit of this as well, where somebody was saying, "I might not be able to run my car anymore."
Yeah.
And my top tip to all you guys sort of getting to this stage is, have a week in Slovakia. Have a week in Slovakia.
What, and fill up?
No. The fact is, loads of people here don't have cars.
Yeah, it's a different society, though.
No, it's
totally
not.
It's
what it is. The one thing in common between the UK and Slovakia, well, there's loads of things in common, is predominantly Slovakia is a service industry country. Very similar to England.
Yeah.
Very, very similar. It's just slightly different. But what they don't...
What I'm saying about it being different is, I mean, that it's... it's a different background. It's how quickly Slovakia has ended up in this position has brought traditional method. We have had cars. This is the first time in my life that I've not been a two-car family. Now it's just pointless to have two cars. And so I am actually spend most of my time stranded at home because I can't go out anywhere. And that's what I'm saying. What I mean is that in a way is a return to, and we've talked about this before, the way Slovakia is. You know,
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But I'm saying, like, for instance, where I live, I used to work in Birmingham, which was 36 miles away.
Right.
At the time, to travel to and from work, because I had a big car, it was costing me about 70 quid a week.
Yeah.
Now, I've worked it out before we did the show. It would now cost me around about £130 a week, just in petrol. Mm. Now, when food's gone up and everything else, people can't afford to live at this this thing. People are suffering now. And when interest rates go up by six times what they are now, even though, you know, I think what they said was an average mortgage of £150,000 would go up by £250 a month. Add that on to the £400 a month you're already out of pocket by that. £650 a month. Mm. That's a lot of money. That's real terms.
That is a lot of money.
The one thing I would say to you, though, which Britain doesn't really understand, and I think from what we talked about before, Slovakia understands this far better than us, go and get yourself another job. Do two jobs while we ride out this problem.
Yeah, I can see that. But the Slovak way is to save up for it as well, Lee.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. It's a totally different culture.
Yes.
I'm not saying for a second that the culture in Slovakia is worse than ours. I don't think it is for a second. I think our culture is wrong.
Yeah, I know. I quite agree with you. But it's very funny. We're going to have to move on to these very, very quickly to squeeze a couple of these in. I banned my wife from the UK, says an immigration officer. That's a stitch up, isn't it?
I think this man is a hero.
Go on, you've got 30 seconds to explain it.
Yeah. Well, this bloke, right, had a bit of a row with his missus. And she was an immigration officer, and she wanted to go back to her home country. So while she was out, he put her on the border controls list so she couldn't get back in. It took her 3 years to get back in the country.
Wonderful. David Beckham's $25 million libel claim has been thrown out of court.
Well, I think what interests me there is obviously the libel laws in America are a bit different than they are over here.
Yeah.
But they basically, the judge has said, right, that he's a public figure. And even though the information which was published might have been false, it wasn't malicious.
Right. And now, finally, the authorities have found a submarine off of Mexico.
It's a homemade submarine. Somebody's built it themselves. It's incredible. It works. It goes under the water.
Yeah.
Well, that's like a homemade boat, isn't it? That'll go under the water as well. But they've been. Maybe that's what it is. It was a boat, and now it's like a submarine. But anyway,
it is, don't you? It's on off the coast of Mexico. It was mañana time. It was having a sleep. And sunk. See you next week, boys and girls. That was Postcard from Popra. Say goodbye, Lee.
Bye-bye.
From the heart of the world, RTI.